find us.
It'll bug you. Okay.
I'm joined by Ian Black in Tripoli. Ian, following the dramatic vote at the UN last night, how has that gone down in Tripoli?
Well, Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, was pretty defiant from the start. He gave tribute to Portuguese television just as the vote was about to take place in New York. And it was fairly clear at that stage that it was going to produce the no-fly zone. And he was very ominous. He talked about the world goes crazy, we'll go crazy too. There was a statement from the Libyan Minister of Defense, another quite menacing line about danger to air and maritime traffic in the Mediterranean. There was a clear threat of retaliation if Libya came under attack. He was menacing as well, talking about and to the people of Benghazi, where the rebels have their stronghold. He said there'd be no mercy and no pity shown to them. He did say that people who gave up their weapons would be unharmed. But if you're in Libyan opposition figure, a rebel in Benghazi today, I think you could be forgiven for feeling quite anxious about what's going to happen next. Which will come first, a Libyan assault on the town or some action, military action that's been authorized by the UN? That's where the drama of this story is today, I think.
And we have had reports of heavy bombardment in Misrata.
Misrata is an important town. It's Libya's third city. It's a port on the Mediterranean coast between Tripoli and Benghazi. Fighting there on and off for the last few days. Several times the government has claimed to have taken it, to have it under control. The rebels have insisted not. So the persistence of fighting, reported pretty independently today, a bombardment suggests that not for the first time the Libyan government is getting ahead of itself in claiming to have achieved military advances. It also raises the interesting and now very, very relevant question. If the Libyan government forces, as reported, are using tanks and heavy artillery against civilian targets, will this be the trigger for the kind of military action that has now been approved at the UN Security Council? Will it be necessary first to impose the no-fly zone, or could we simply see air attacks mounted from Britain or France on Libyan armoured columns and artillery? These are the sort of questions that are floating around today, and of course, as yet, nobody has any clear answers.
I suppose another key question floating around, that there must be some thinking in the West that now that we've seen decisive diplomatic action at the UN, there must be the hope that some of the forces behind Gaddafi might melt away.
Well, I think it's been an interesting and constant feature since the crisis began, this idea, much discussed outside Libya, of defections of key figures, of military units disaffected with the regime. And there was, of course, a lot of that at the beginning, and there have been a lot of rumours. In the last few days since I've been here, I haven't heard of any significant defection from the core of the regime. And what you have here, at least in the public eye, is a pretty united and defiant position, alongside a certain nervousness about how things are going to turn out. But there isn't a sense that people are preparing to abandon Gaddafi. And of course, with a very, very practiced and effective state propaganda machine, the Libyan media, television, radio, and newspapers are absolutely full with images of cheering crowds, pledges of loyalty and support for the brother leader, rent-a-crowd demonstrations in public places, endlessly replayed on TV, songs, slogans, defiance. So the public face of the Gaddafi regime is one of determination to resist foreign aggression. It's all in the vocabulary and the narrative of resistance to imperialism. Part of the rhetoric of the Libyan state.
Ian, I think,
publicly,
Ian, I'm going
divided.
To.